as they're making their way. Thank you guys for taking care of our kids as they're making their way back. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 7. We just came off of a wonderful week of ministry and had over 50, almost 55 workers every night from the church. And a lot of kids. I mean, it's just amazing. A lot of youth. Just this whole idea, I was thinking about how precious the week is at Vacation Bible School. And one of the reasons that is just like when we go on a mission trip. And those that have been on trips know how awesome it is as you go and you spend time. And what it is, you have a common focus that week. We work together from the youngest to the oldest, and we work together for a common focus, and we're a team. And you get done and you realize the great potential that we can have as a church. What if we did that every week? And I don't mean coming every night. Everybody said, dear goodness, if we had to do that, right? Every night. But I'm talking about it's keeping the common mindset, the common focus. And I know that our church, we are mission-minded, but just how we can, and as we go into this LOL month, live out loud, and how it is that we can keep this mindset, this Great Commission mindset. We know that the Great Commission in Matthew 28, when he said to go ye therefore into all the nations, baptizing, and then making disciples and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things. That Great Commission mindset, in that everything that we do, all that we are, every program that we have has that mindset of reaching the lost and reaching people for Christ. And so I want us to think about it as we go into 1 Timothy. Paul had that mindset. He had the Great Commission mindset. It was all about him on that road to Damascus when he met Jesus. And he was transformed. I heard somebody make the statement that, you know, he was really, think about what Paul, he was a terrorist. Man, he was killing Christians. He was terrorizing the church. And yet, when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, God changed his heart. And all he wanted to do was pour out his life in Great Commission service to Christ. And so, we can go to any of his writings, but Timothy's a special time. Why? He's one of his preacher boys. Timothy and Titus was his two boys that he had raised up and they had went along with him. And Timothy was actually at Ephesus and Titus was on the island of Crete. And so when we get to the pastoral epistles, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, that's what they're called because he's reaching out to these pastors that he's had time, that he's discipled, that he's poured into. And when we get to this point in Timothy, man, he's writing him at Ephesus. And you know what? Just like any other time, we're not careful. Church can have problems, can't it? I mean, we're not perfect. We can have problems if we lose our focus. If we keep our focus, we can work through our problems, okay? And so he's with Timothy, he's encouraging him, and he's wanting to ignite the same fire that's within him, the idea of a Great Commission mindset. And so when we go out, I want us to know that as we start into this month, this Live Out Loud month, and how we're to focus and think about missions, and the missions a lot that you're involved in, but also missions that you can be involved in. We'll see that. We'll have somebody each week talking about things that you're involved with, but also you may be a heart to do more. We need to do more as we see this world deteriorating to reach the lost with the gospel of Christ. You guys have had a heart to do that for a long time, but sometimes we just need to regenerate, to rekindle that, to keep that fire burning. And so I want you to know something. It doesn't matter where you are geographically. Todd is a small place in a small area. We don't even have a stoplight here. I call people, I say, man, come to the megaplex of Todd, right? It's a great place, though. You know how I know it's great? I can tell all hundreds of people that walk by my house half-naked every day, right, or just about, especially on the weekend, because they want to come up and enjoy the river, or they want to come up and see the scenery and these kind of things. So many people just want to come and enjoy where you live, like Rick said. Just got back from Alaska, but when he came back, Alaska's a beautiful place. But you know what? When you drive up 194, you're coming up 421 or 321, whichever one you come in, you start realizing the beauty that you have, that you live. And God's placed us geographically right here. It doesn't matter where you are geographically. You can make a difference globally. You believe that with all your heart. You can make a difference globally. Can Southport Baptist Church make a difference globally? Yes, it can. It can, and it does, and we want to continue to do that, to reach not only our community but the world with the gospel of Christ. And in our scriptures today, Paul, in our scripture, he's going to give us some building blocks, essential building blocks for a Great Commission mindset. So let's stand on our feet and reverence God, the reading of God's Word. 1 Timothy chapter 2. In a Great Commission mindset, look at verses 1 through 7. And the Word of God said, "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher in the teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth." Bless the reading of your word. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for a short time. I pray in Jesus' name that you'll touch us right where we're at. God, that you'll show us as a church what it is that we desire for us to be. And God, let us receive your word with gladness. And I pray that most of all that Christ will be glorified through it, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want us to see, as we go into these essential building blocks of a Great Commission mindset, the first is praying for everyone. Look at verses 1 and 2. What does it say? "Therefore," he says, "I exhort first of all that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodness and reverence." When he says therefore, he's talking back where he's told Timothy up in 18 through 20 of chapter 1 to fight the good fight. Stand on what you know to be the prophecies and all the Bible, the Word of God from the past, and wage a good warfare. He's saying be a good soldier in Christ, and then he's saying these are some of the essentials you can have in doing that, being that pastor that he's called you to be at Ephesus. And the first is praying for everyone. Look, he said, "I exhort you," or his exhortation is encouragement. I'm encouraging you, Timothy, to do what? Pray. Pray. How important that is. And look what it is. First of all, it's a priority. What does he say? First of all. First, pray. If we're not careful, we'll say, well, all we can do is what? Pray. It sounds like that's the last thing that we could do. It should always be the first. Always be the first. It should be a priority, first of all. But not only is it a priority, but it's comprehensive. Look what he says. Supplications, which are petitions or requests. Prayers, this idea of devotion and intercession, this intervention praying. And then giving of thanks. He said, man, it's comprehensive. Prayer is just not this little thing that we do or we tack on, but there's this it's a priority, but it should be comprehensive. It should include all these things. How much do you pray? Something for us to think about. And then it's inclusive for all men. I want you to see how many times he uses all in these scriptures. About 6 times is just the beginning. All means all. It's all means, okay? All men. He says, pray for all men. It's inclusive. But it's also specific. Look, for kings and all in authority. And it's with a purpose, purposeful, that we may do what? That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all goodness and reverence. You know what this is? This is evangelistic praying. This is Great Commission praying. This is not prayer as usual. We think of prayer praying for health needs, and I know we do that, and there's nothing wrong with that, but prayer is so much more than that. Do you realize that today at 9:30 there were 11 people that met in a little room here in the seniors' class for prayer? Why do we do that? We pray about our services. Yeah, we pray for needs, but we pray about the services that are coming up. Think about join in that prayer group at 9:30. Just a few more minutes of your Sunday, but how important it is. Paul said it should be a priority. Should be first. Meeting together and praying and lifting up these things. If we're going to have a Great Commission mindset, we need to make prayer a priority. You know? know that on Wednesday night services, we spend, what's it called? Wednesday night's always been called, you heard me say it, prayer meeting. We ought to be praying then, shouldn't we? We spend the first part praying. We pray for physical needs. We mention those. And then we'll pray for prayer needs and things we're doing. But we, and you know where we end up? Right here around this altar. All those on Wednesday night pray. What a precious time. If you're missing that, listen, that is so precious. We end up praying. You know what we're praying for? The lost in our community and for our church to be that which God. I cannot tell you since we've started that how many people we've come to see know Christ and ask Him as their personal Savior just by praying and focusing on those things. Paul said, let prayer be a priority. And he also says, pray for everyone. You know, he's saying, hey, he said, pray for the salvation of the nation. So it's not just about South Fort Baptist Church or the Todd community, but he's saying, go outside of that. Pray for America. Does America need prayer this morning? Dear Lord, we need prayer. And he says, pray for the leaders of the nations. Listen, I want you to know who the emperor was. It's Nero, one of the worst persecutors of all Christians, that would kill many of the apostles and take their lives. And you know what Paul's saying? Pray for him. Pray for our leaders. How much do you pray for the administration that we have in office right now? How much do we pray for our leaders? Oh, we don't care anything about them. That ain't, didn't say anything about it. Not praying for them. We're all guilty of throwing rocks. But how much are we praying? Because he's saying, pray for the leadership. And it doesn't matter who's in leadership. Nero was a whack job. I'm serious. E.M. Bounds, the great author on prayer, makes a statement. He said, prayer and missions are bosom companions. You shouldn't have one without the other. Bosom companions is how he put it. Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon says, listen to what he says, we do not know what God may do for us if we would but pray. What a statement. We should be praying people. And this is true of our nation and of our world. Listen, when me and Sandy got a privilege to go to India a while back, I'll never forget as we rode, goodness, you think people, place you've never been to a crowded place, okay? 1.2 billion people stuffed in that little country. Everywhere we looked, I'll never forget, on the side of a hill, there was, I think they said 15,000 Hindu temples. I'll never forget that picture in my mind. That, just the whole side of, imagine the mountains that we have up there, a mountain that's covered with Hindu temples. That's sad. We went to Vietnam a couple times, and everywhere you turn, there was these little Buddhist, these little things that they had created that they could worship Buddha, these shrines, and they would put apples and all kinds of fruit and stuff on it. And sooner or later, they would decay or the rats would eat it, but they'd say, Buddha took it. I mean, but how sad that is. We need to pray. We're serving in a lost world. Do you understand that? The lostness that surrounds us. This kind of praying should be our goal, that we pray for the nations. But that we keep a Great Commission mindset, but there's also a goal in mind when it comes personally. What does it say? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodness and reverence. He said, you know what? It doesn't. It affects the world around us, but it also infects us. Infects and affects us. That we have this peaceable life and that we have this quiet life in godliness and reverence. So it changes us. Prayer changes us when we pray, and we pray prayers outside of our own wants and needs. Love seeing the kids doing the bubbling up. That's what it should, listen, it should bubble up to the surface, okay? It should come out that we've spent time with Jesus every day, that people can perceive in their heart they've been something's different about them. What is it? We've spent time with Jesus in prayer. You know what it does? It helps us keep the main thing the main thing. That's why we're here as a church. Make much of Christ. Keep Him the center. Keep the gospel message the center of all things. The Great Commission mindset is praying for everyone, but it's also the understanding that, listen, God desires for all to be saved. Verses 3 and 4. Look at what it says. this is a good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. You know, we should pray God, have a God-sized heart. All men. That's expansive. That's reaching everybody. Not just our own little world, but for everybody. And verse 3 is really a hinge verse. It connects 1 and 2 with the praying for all men, especially the world and the leaders and nationally. And what does he say? It's good and acceptable to do those things. It's pleasing in the sight of our God, our Savior. Why? Why is that so pleasing to God? Well, he answers that. God desires all men to be saved and come into a knowledge of the truth. Note that salvation is it's equal with a knowledge of the truth. We need to share the truth. We need to be people of the truth. If we really love people, you cannot have love and truth with love without truth, okay? Sometimes the truth is not an easy thing to share, but if you really love people, you share the truth. You share the truth through your life, through what God has done for you. You share what Christ can do in them, and they see this thing lived out. Our Savior desires all to be saved. It's so simple. No qualification, no exception. Sadly, this is not a decree that all's going to be saved. But he desires all to be saved. That means there's nobody unreachable by Christ. Nobody that we should not share the gospel with. No group that falls under that. No qualifications. But it's not universalism. Everybody's not going to be saved. Scripture speaks of that. So they're that antithesis there, this tension, this mystery that's went on forever, okay? God wishes all to be saved, but he also gave us a free will, and we know that choices of men, and so they run parallel. Listen, if I could explain all that, I could write a book, and I guarantee you everybody would read it. You can't be explained. It's one of those tensions of God. He wants everybody to be saved, but you know what? Everybody's not going to be saved. But he's called us. He's the one that does the saving. And he's called us to share the gospel with everybody. Everybody. He wishes all to be saved. Do you know there's 6,649 unreached people groups in our world? Let that soak in a little bit. 7.2 billion people in this vast world, and almost 4 billion have never heard the name. You know what that is? It's lost. Well, let's look a little closer to home. America is the third largest lost nation in the world with only 325 million people. Christianity only grew 5%, while secularism grew 110%. Islam grew 109%. Buddhism grew 170%. Hinduism grew 237%. And so on and so on and so on. In your country, in your nation, in your communities, in your backyard. Third largest lost nation in the world with just 325 million people. It's not much when it's compared to the rest of the world. And we just mentioned 1.2 billion in India. China and India are the only two that's in front of us. Lostness. Do we believe? Do you believe that God desires all to be saved? Do you believe that this morning? Do you? Do you believe that God desires all to be saved? We just read that. Then we need to do more. Our God, listen, desires. He deserves more, does he not? He desires for us to be a part of his kingdom building. How can we hear numbers like that and not be pricked in our heart? To wake us up from our complacency to say, dear God, help me. Help me to see and get out of my own little bubble of living. Just trying to live my own little life. The American dream has took over God's dream. Do you realize that, right? God's dream is that all to be saved. He wishes all desire. He wishes for us to be and have a focus like his. He wishes for us to have a Great Commission mindset. He wants us to join, sharing his mission. Wow. I want us to think next, Jesus as the only Savior. And this is where, in today's world, we're just talking about that pluralism and all the things, different roads that lead to heaven. I don't know where you stand this morning, but I hope you, by that, when we finish this, that you'll understand what the Scripture says. In authority said last week, Scripture has the last word. It has to on all things. Authority of God's Word, it says, listen, Jesus says the only Savior. This is part of our building blocks for a Great Commission mindset. Look at verses 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Pastor Dave, you mean to tell me that Jesus is the only way to heaven? There's no other way? Yes! Yes! I want you to know Jesus himself said in John 14:6, what did he say? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said it. That's politically incorrect today, Pastor Dave. Take it up with Jesus. I didn't say it. He said it. I love old Peter. He'd stuck his foot in his mouth many times, but listen to what he says in Acts 4:12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved. No other name but the name of Jesus. No other name but the name of the Lord. That's it. Only one way. That's Jesus. So that all those shrines we've seen, lost. All those temples, and we've seen the little temples, all those things that we do, lost. Muslims, lost. Any other way besides Christ is lost. That's what the Scripture says. So we need to, if we're going to have a great commission mindset, we've got to grasp that. There's some things that he gives us here, and he focuses on, look, there's only one God. One God. There's not many gods. One. Next, there's only one mediator. Only one way to be right with that God. His name's Jesus. Sent him to a cross. Every person in this room. And then thirdly, our mediator gave himself a ransom for all. You know what Jesus did? He came to this earth. He paid the price for your sins, my sins. Getting to lead those young people of Christ this week, man. It's like, yeah, you can't sick a preacher better than that. I mean, it's one of those exciting times, and I love their hearts are so tender. You know what it said? I had one say that they lie. I lie, and I do these things, recognizing sin in their life and our need for a sin. And here's the deal. Being able to say, you know what? This is a grown-up thing you're doing. Mom and Daddy can't do it for you. I can't do it for you. But only you can receive Christ, and for them to pray and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I invite you into my heart. Listen, woo! Somebody ought to get happy. That's what it's about. My goodness. Salvation comes to none other. Listen, even a babe can accept it. He makes it so simple. Why? He paid the price for our sin. That's the reason he came. No other reason. He came to give his life on a hill called Calvary, and so that he could suffer the wrath of God for your sin. But you know what? He died and they placed him in a grave. Get ready. What happened? Third day he arose. Third day he got up. Why? He completed his task. That whosoever believes it on him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the Jesus we serve. You know, Adrian Rogers said, salvation's not a plan, it's a man. I like that. That's exactly right. We don't need a plan. We need Jesus Christ, the man. Jesus Christ, the man. Ain't that right, Lee? The man. Remember that. Somebody wrote this. Listen, I wish I was smart enough to write. Listen to what they said. I don't know who it was. Life is short. Death is sure. Sin is the cost. And only Jesus is the cure. That's great words. We have to believe that. God has in Christ provided an overwhelming evidence that at a particular moment in time of his desire for the salvation of all men, he has done his part to make that possible. In fact, we know in Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent his Son forth, born of a woman, born under law. Why? So that we could have salvation in his name. A great commission mindset grasps a hold of that. And when you hear all these other, you don't think, well, what about this? What about it? Scripture says there's no other way. We have to end that discussion. In a day that pulls at your kids, every time they go into college, they tell you that's a bunch of garbage. Everywhere they go, they say, oh no, it's all just man's way of dealing with this need that he has, and so he creates a religion. You're exactly right. A religion. Guess what? Christianity's not a religion. It's a relationship with God through Jesus Christ our Savior. We didn't create nothing. We didn't reach up to God. God reached down to us. He sent His best. He sent some, He sent His Son. Now, that was God's part. Now, what's our part in the story? I'm glad you asked. Look at the last one. He has appointed us to proclaim the message, verse 7. For which, Paul said, I was appointed a preacher and an apostle, and I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. In Robert Coleman's Master Plan of Evangelism, listen to what he said. The need of the hour is a return to the kind of evangelism which majors in people winning other people to Christ and building those who have been won into disciples who can win and build others. We need to get back to that kind of evangelism. That we win people to Christ, but not that we just turn them loose like a baby, but that we disciple them and pour into them and make them winners of Christ, of other disciples, right? Operation Multiplication. We've got to get back. That's the only thing that's going to keep our country from going down the tubes is we're going to have to get off our blessed assurance and start doing something for the Lord. We're going to have to realize our greatest calling. God's laid the gospel in our lap. He saved us and He gave us a purpose. Paul said, I love this. He sees his assignment. He says, teacher or preacher. That's one that proclaims. Apostle, a sent one, a teacher. He said, and then I love what he says. I'm not lying. I know how he feels. He's like, look, he was the one that was out persecuting the Christians. He was the terrorist, right? He said, I'm not lying. I don't know how many times I walked out that door and people look at me and said, you the pastor here? I said, yeah, can you believe it? I know where he's coming from. He said, I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you the truth, Paul. He didn't get over it. He wasn't so, I'm this apostle, and this is, I've got my apostle voice. Hello, I'm Brother Dave. I had somebody come out the other day, and I had on a pair of gym shorts. They said, you mean your pastor wears gym shorts? Guess what? Your pastor wears gym shorts. I'm just a man like anybody else. All right, I'd have them on today if you'd let me. Look, it don't matter what you got on. I'm no different than you are. God just called me to be a preacher, your pastor. And I say that. I can't believe it. That's what he said. I'm not lying. Paul said, I'm not lying. You know why? Because his life was in Christ. He was doing what God had called him to be. This, he's saying, this is my life. This is who I am. Why? Because Christ had entered his life and had changed it and had given this unique call. For him to reach the world. Aren't you glad that he reached the Gentiles? That's us, by the way. Praise God. Paul had a unique calling from the Lord to proclaim the gospel. But you know what? He's called us. We just read the Great Commission. He's called us all to go. He's called us all to go make disciples, teaching them all my ways. That's what he's called us all to do. We're all a team, just like we focused last week on Vacation Bible School. We work together for a common goal. It's the same common goal. The team doesn't stop. Okay? We keep on. We keep our calling, our greatest calling. Can you say that's your goal in life? Can you say that? That's my goal. What? To please Jesus, my master and commander. I'm a soldier of the cross, and he's my master and commander. My goal in life is to please him. And that means going where he calls us to tell him, sends us to go, going to the nations, going across the street. Don't you go around the world if you can't go across the street. Okay? Something wrong there. Then that, when we do that, missions becomes something that we do, not who we are. Does that make any sense? There's a big difference there. Missions is not just something we do, it's who we are. What do you mean? That means it affects me right where my feet are today. That means my neighbor over there that's not going to church, means instead of me just saying, he don't ever go to church on Sunday. I see him out mowing his grass. Well, how many times you went over and said, listen, how about coming to church with me on Sunday? Wow, that's, go over and invite him. Oh, he turned me down every time. Keep on inviting him. You got to show the love. People don't care how much you care until they know how much you care. Right? It's love. Do you really love them? That's the question. Boy, he just runs that lawnmower. I want to take a nap on Sunday. Hey, I'm talking to myself, too. Dear Lord, can't they give me a weekend and I don't have to look out the window and see women walking in little old bikinis and can't even look out my window? I'm serious. How many times have I said that? And I thought, and the Lord pricked my heart and said, are you not a minister of the gospel? It's so aggravating sometimes. But here's the deal. It's not about what I want. It's about what He wants. He's called us to be a representative of Him, an ambassador of Christ. What about us? Can we say that we're no longer ours, but we're God's, to be used in His purposes and whatever way He chooses? For some people, that scares them to death. Why? I got to be in control, Mr. Cooper. I got to know what's happening around the corner. Guess what? God doesn't tell you everything that's going to happen around the corner. He just says, follow me, and I'll work it all out. Now, that might scare some people, but other people say, you know what? That's a pretty good lie. He's called us all to trust in Him. He doesn't lay it all out for us. What's our mind? What's our mindset? What are our purposes? Are we willing to say, God, whatever you choose, that's all right with me? Do we have a Great Commission mindset, or is our mindset on the things of the world? Your life plays that out, by the way. Your life answers that question. What is our mindset this morning? What is it that the Lord wants? Our God is a Great Commission God. We must be Great Commission people. Listen to Spurgeon, another Spurgeon quote. If sinners will be lost, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. And if they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees, imploring them to stay. What a great quote. Man, we're almost, when people are enemies against God, we're almost like, yeah, God, take care of them. Take them out. We don't want to bother with them. Spurgeon said, we ought to be imploring them the whole way with our hands wrapped around them saying, come to know Christ. That's love. That's the love of Christ. In fact, the Scripture says, when I was an enemy against God, Christ died for me. What are we going to do for Him as we get into our live out loud months? What's God called you to do? How about living out loud for Him? Purpose in your heart. That family, those kids. This is a great place for kids to come. Why? Because we love kids. Come and learn the ways of the Lord. Great place for teenagers facing a difficult world right now. Come. The only way they're going to come is if you invite them. Show them the love. Let them know that you care more about yourself. Or don't care more about yourself. You care more about them than you do yourself. And that comes through stepping out of our comfort zone. On the line. Well, some applications and we'll be done. You ladies be making your way. Do you have a Great Commission mindset? Just a question this morning. I ain't wanting to make anybody feel guilty. I'm just wanting us to, man, last week we come off such a high with Vacation Bible School. We were all focused and all that. Why do we have to come off of that? Stay focused. Keep the team going. Keep our focus the same. Do we have a Great Commission mindset? Are we worried about the people in our community, our neighbors? Are we care about the people of the world, the lost world that's around us? Or do we just kind of go through our own motions and really don't care? Just trying to survive. Just trying to good old American dream. Number two, what are your priorities in life? Goes right along with it. Your priorities will be played out in what you spend your time and your talents and your money on. That's your priority. Are your priorities the things of Christ? And lastly, when was the last time you shared what Christ has done for you with someone else? When's the last time you said, man, let me tell you about my Savior. Let me tell you what He did for me. I had a friend passed away this past week, Mickey Baker, we've been praying for. Had a brain tumor, 13 years. She's my age. We went to school together. One of my oldest friends. I actually matched her and her husband, and they had been together all that time. Man, I graduated in 1980. Okay, that's a long time ago, right? It's an old friend. Went on to be the Lord. Had a part in winning her to the Lord. saw her come to know Jesus. Told somebody it's the only laugh I ever made in my life. I was shouting so much about knocked the Christmas tree down. When she came to know Christ, why, she was one of those hard people to reach. But you know, as I went back, I kind of stepped back. I went back down to Morgan and some of the things in my past and some of the things them people knew. I was a hellion, okay? A lot of people knew me that way. The things I did and the embarrassment of that, and I had a hard time with that. Stepping back, but I don't know how many I got the chance to say, boy, Jesus changed my life. If God can save me, he can save anybody. Now, but I bet you they were saying amen to that, because a lot of them knew me before Christ. I'm glad that you did. When Jesus comes in, he changes a man. Paul went from a murderer to preaching and proclaiming the gospel of Christ. Has he done anything for you? If he's done something for you, then you got to share it. You got to bubble up. Bubbling up. Let it come to the surface what he's done for you. Let's all stand to our feet. What about you? Do you know Christ is your personal Savior? Do you? Do you know that he's your Lord and Savior? If you don't know, man, I'd love to lead you to the Lord today. If you just let him come, I'll take the Word of God, not my opinion. But what does thus say the Word of God? Don't leave here lost. Why? Because God loves you. But what? Do you know? Have you been maybe through the preaching, teaching of your Word? You're a little convicted. Why? I've lost my focus. You know, I just go through the motions. I hadn't really said, Lord, why do I do what I do? When was the last time you shared the gospel? Just shared what Jesus had done to you. And just say, you know what, Lord? I'm sorry. Help me to keep the focus. Help me to keep the main thing. Sometimes life can just suck that out of us. Maybe you're struggling. Some kind of spiritual struggle that you had. Altar's open. As soon as you start singing, just come forward. Give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. Written.
Has he not a gentle Savior?
What's he said to you this morning? People are coming. How about you? Is that heart beating? That Holy Spirit dealing with you? Nothing wrong with saying, hey, you know, I don't care what nobody thinks. I just care what Jesus thinks. I'm coming to Jesus today. What's God saying to your heart? Don't pass me by. You've let him pass by before, probably. You don't like that feeling. You still have to deal with it. You'll have to lay down tonight thinking about it. Don't let the Holy Spirit pass you by again. What's he saying? Answer in obedience.
Just a minute. Let these finish up. It's not too late for you, though, if you need to come. What is the Lord saying? Hey, the great thing about it, we mess up, make a mistake, all we do is say, Lord, forgive me, and we do the next thing right. That's the God that you serve. Not to beat you up, not to make you feel guilty. You just say, hey, Lord, forgive me. I'm going to keep my focus on what it is that you've called me to do. What's he called me to do? To go out and represent him everywhere where I'm at. On that job in the morning, you better believe it. I'll keep him saying, oh, dear Lord, it's Monday morning again. But it's Monday. I get to go out and work. Many people would like to get up in the morning and go to work, okay? Many of them at the trade. It's whatever we do. Hey, kids, getting ready to start back to school. Oh, no, summertime, man, it's over. You can say, hey, get to go to school, represent Christ. Whatever we do. Listen, if coming forward was something foreign to you, but you know that the Lord wants to touch that, wants to speak to you about your salvation, listen, come see me. I promise you, I'll take out the time to talk to you. Whatever the need might be. feet. We love you. Thank you for visiting. If you don't have a church home, this is a great place to be. It's not a perfect church. Why? Because I'm here. But Christ is the center. And I promise you, you'll be loved. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll finish. Jim, close us in prayer, please.